For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer, joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, we're at the time of the season where I think even Brian Kelly announced in his press conference, this is kind of one of those boring weeks where, we are where we are. We've got three losses. We don't have exactly a big-time opponent other than the fact that it's BC and there's that rivalry between us and them.
And they're returning but, tickets, so you know that their fan base is really excited.
That's exactly right. So, it's just one of those, this is one of those games you got to just get through. And having said that, I mean, that's where the danger
comes
right.
in. That's right. And you got to get through it because there's lots of distractions. You got family coming in because it's a senior game. And
Somebody
made the point to me this week that I think is so true. I mean, we just make this assumption that these football players are as kind of dialed in and, ready to go each and every day as we are as fans. And, we forget sometimes that they're young guys. And I think that's what was going on a little bit earlier in the season when Brian Kelly started, getting on him a little bit and talking about attention to detail and talking about being ready to go every day and the preparation aspect of it. I mean, they probably think about Notre Dame football a lot less than we do. a lot of these players, girlfriends parties to go
you're
to.
Not, which is actually to tap onto that point, because you're leading right into where I wanted to go with this segment.
See, we still have our mojo good. Even after a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, there we go. Even though we've been off for about a week and a half. A lot of people, and I think this is just indicative, obviously, of the day and age that we live in today. I mean, I know that I'll have conversations with people that will say to me, can you imagine what it would have been like back in the Holtz days if we had the internet? When Holtz would do his, what seemed to be just incredibly like stupid things, but yet from game to game, it doesn't carry over and everybody forgets about it, after the next game. In this day and age, everything is plastered on the internet within 5 hours after the game. And that resonates and even comes into Brian Kelly, where he's got to explain himself, on stuff like this. And, going back to the Wake Forest game, I think everybody coming out of there was like, oh, my God, what is going on with us? It required us, okay, get this, it required us to get the ball with 5 minutes to go and hold it for the rest of the game.
Right.
To win it. First off, when's the last time we've done that, where we just pounded the ball and held on to it and didn't turn it back over with 5 minutes to go in the game? And then secondly, how does everybody know Wake Forest is that bad? They, a week later, almost took out, should have taken
that's
out
right,
Clemson.
That's right. No, I totally agree with you, Mike. And I think something that gets lost in this is that, Brian Kelly is like at the bottom of a hill that's had crap rolling down it for 15 years. The Faust years were kind of, the aberration. I mean, there was success with Era dating back to 1964. There was success with Divine. In other words, it wasn't this kind of like long, miserable period. It was kind of this aberration with Faust coming in and just kind of, knocking everything down a notch over a 5 year period. And people still, it was still very fresh in people's minds, kind of what a top notch program looks like. Whereas, Brian Kelly has kind of had to reconstruct, a number of years of mediocrity, and also, it's gotten worse. So I think his job has been tougher than Lou's in a lot of ways. And if you compare their records, if you compare kind of where they're at this stage in their tenure, Brian Kelly compares very favorably. And, there's going to be bumps. And like you said, I mean, you can go back and look at some games that Holtz coached in his second year and kind of the team laying an egg in a couple games, and obviously they got drilled in their bowl game. you know, so there's there, I don't know. I'm definitely glass half full on this program and
right,
on this
right. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of life for us as Notre Dame fans, and there's a lot of Notre Dame fans out there that the anxiety is built up so high that they just can't. It's tough for them to take losses in any way, shape, or form, and it's tough for them to take the fact that we're not the elite program yet that we want to be. We're just not there yet. However, we are on our way. There's nothing to indicate that Brian Kelly is not the guy for this job. He totally is demonstrating. And I'll, to give him even credit on top of what he's done it with what he's been dealt with, which is not the guy that he's used to having at quarterback. I mean, he's effectively coaching around. No knock on Tommy Rees, don't get me wrong. But Tommy Rees is not the kind of kid that Brian Kelly is going to be recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the kind of kid that he wants at that at that position mentally,
but exactly.
I think that you're right. He has some physical limitations, but you know, it doesn't sound to me when you hear Brian Kelly talk that he never talks about Tommy's physical limitations. I mean, not like directly. You know, the latest thing about talking about the deep ball and how we've got to get him. You know, I mean, he doesn't say that, you know, Tommy can't throw the deep ball or that's just a shortcoming of his. He basically looks at it as something that we need to coach up a little bit. So I think he's, you know, and I think Notre Dame fans are a little hard on Tommy Rees too, just because we have this idea of kind of the prototype physical guy. And like, you know, and another, you know, a really smart guy told me this week, the reason Notre Dame fans, you know, are kind of lukewarm to Tommy Rees is because he doesn't look the part, like you know, like what they have in their mind.
Exactly.
But in terms of production, I mean, I think it's pretty hard to argue with, you know, a second year guy and kind of how far he's come. Some of the decisions he's making at the line of scrimmage have been really good. And yeah, he's thrown some poor balls and made some bad ones too. But you know, I the more and more I kind of try and step back and look at this. I think he's done a really good job, and I think it's a good fit between coach and quarterback. And I agree with you; that is so essential in the Brian Kelly way of doing things. You've got to have and I think, to tell you the truth, there might be something there, and that's the reason that he's in this job and Dane Chris isn't. Is there's just a more of a meeting of the minds, you know, there between head coach and quarterback than
that would explain a lot. But, you know, having said all that, I do think that once you get a guy in there like a Golson, who is going to have that threat of pulling it out and going weak side on the run, all you need are two or three of those a game. I mean, that's all you need. And it opens things up in a huge way. And, you know, we've been able to do what we've done. And further credit to him, I mean, we're staring at the possibility of having two backs go over 1,000
yards.
Well,
I mean,
that theoretically, now, granted, it's a 12-game season, we all know that, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at that and say to yourself, okay, the last 20 years, how many times have we done that?
And that, to me, is the reason why you're able to put some beatdowns on some teams that were, you know, that we were in dogfights with, you know, a few years ago. You know, being able to control the line of scrimmage, being able to get 5-6 yards a carry, putting yourself in second and short, and you know, and third and short for that matter, you know, where you have some, where you, I mean, you know, we've had several times this year where Brian Kelly has run a delayed handoff on 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 12, and we've gotten the first down. I mean, that just
exactly.
hasn't happened in a decade,
right.
You know. So
exactly.
those kinds of things, and the ability to stop the run, the ability to kind of hold down some pretty good offenses. We're still not a dominating defense. We still have trouble getting to the quarterback. We still have trouble hunting him down and tackling him behind the line of scrimmage after he moves out of the pocket. We still, you know, it's coming. But those are the two biggest, and it's so funny because we fall in love with the spread and we fall in love with the pass and we fall in love with these plays. But it does. There's a lot of truth to the cliche about running the football and stopping the run. It's certainly the way this team is built.
Yeah, and they've done it and they've executed. And you know, I would say right now today, looking ahead, we're probably one game behind where I thought we'd be. You know, I thought we'd have two losses at this point. And staring at a monumental task in Stanford, I still think we have that task in front of us, even though they got beat badly by Oregon. Stanford is the kind of team that, from a matchup perspective, is going to give us all kinds of problems.
Right.
They got a solid offensive line. They've got a quarterback that is totally capable of picking us apart. And their running game isn't exactly shabby. They have all of the tangibles. That there's a reason they've only lost one game all year. I mean, I know their schedule isn't the best in the world, but the fact is that, you know, they've got the talent. It's going to be an incredibly difficult game for us to go in there and
win. Yeah, no, I'm sure we'll talk about it next week, but I agree with you too. Next, the Stanford game is, and not to overlook BC, but the Stanford game I think is going to be on the offense. They're going to have to control the ball, not lay an egg like they did against USC.
Yeah,
and
they got to put 35 points on the board, otherwise that game's history. There's just no way. Looking at BC, these guys do have Brian Kelly was talking about, you know, their middle linebacker, who is a great athlete. I mean, he's arguably the two best linebackers in college football will be on the field on Saturday. But outside of that, they just don't have the dynamics that they've had before. They don't have the running back that's, you know, the breakaway speed. They don't have the defensive line where I think two of them.
Yeah, Raji and I can't remember. Yeah.
You know, so we're not going to face that kind of stuff. However, this is one of those games where, you know, you look across the field and it's Boston College, who, you know, is a lot like us. They're a Catholic school.
It's their bowl game. Their bowl game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. So this is one of those things, like you said, with the distractions that are coming in. I mean, I think the mark, I've always said this, the mark of a good coach is a guy who wins the games he should win and then steal one or two that he shouldn't. And so far, Brian Kelly has done that, at least in my mind. To go into Michigan and beat them in a night game, first ever on the road, yeah, we dominated him for three quarters, and he almost pulled it off. But this clearly is one of those games where it's going to come down to, all right, can Brian keep these guys focused? Can he minimize the downplay of all the emotions that are going into this game and effectively come out with a win? It doesn't matter. You just got to win this.
Yeah, and I do think that there's an element there where they've kind of, you know, I think their heads are on pretty straight. I mean, I expect them to play pretty well. You know, if they play error-free, they'll win the game. You know, they're the only way that BC, I think, is going to be sniffing around in the fourth quarter is if, you know, we've given up the ball, you know, on our side of the field, you know, if we made some bad mistakes. Because I don't see any reason why physically we can't continue to – this isn't a team that we can't push around up front and continue our kind of, you know, 6-7 yards of carry and kind of, you know, move the ball and mix in some passing to Floyd and Eifert. I mean, I just don't see them. You know, they've got a couple individual talents on defense, but you know, hopefully Brian Kelly can figure out how to isolate those guys and take advantage of them. But yeah, I think that you know, this time next week we're going to be talking measuring stick, and we're going to be talking about, okay, how far have we come, and that Stanford game will be a.
Yeah, it's definitely going to lead into that, and all the more reason why you look at BC and you think, all right, well, here's a chance for the Irish to look ahead and get caught. And this is where coaching comes in. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is that game that, as a coach, it keeps you up at night because it makes you nervous, because you know that the tendency is for your players to look ahead.
I think what they've got going for them, if they've seen some senior classes ahead of them leave Notre Dame Stadium for the last time with a really bitter taste in their mouth, not getting the job done in the last game. You know, obviously the UConn game a couple years ago was pretty tough to take. Last year worked out real well, you know, with Utah, and that was kind of like the a part of that November renaissance that we've seen. And it's the schedule works in our favor, but it's good to see the team playing well heading into Thanksgiving. That just wasn't the case for a while. It was kind of a baton death march and a coaching change watch, it seems like, for the better part of the last 7 or 8 years, where, you know, we're just kind of waiting for another shoe to drop, waiting for Adrian Dantley's son to, you know,
I do think that if you're Brian Kelly, you're going to play hard on the emotion of, all right, seniors, this is, you know, this is your last time, the last time you walk through that tunnel, the last time. And I got to believe he's going to lean heavily on the seniors and then put pressure on the underclassmen that it's their obligation to send them out in the way that they need to be sent out of the stadium. So,
and which is interesting about that, because you know that's kind of like this. The last time this team kind of had a big kind of like emotional kind of environment, they did not respond. You know, the USC game was a lot of hype, a lot of stuff going on, and then they came out and they struggled and they didn't handle it very well. So that's kind of what makes this interesting, and I think that, you know, what did Kelly say earlier this week? He wants his team to play with emotion but not be emotional. In other words, that fine line between being ready and being up and being focused, but not kind of getting disconnected and not getting a little bit too over the top and not making some dumb mistakes. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for a coach. It's a challenge every week. But this does seem like a team that kind of is getting comfortable with kind of that reloading and resetting and locking in week to week and then setting something aside and then moving on to the next challenge. So I think that is encouraging. Because that's the way you win championships. You know, you win championships by being consistent all through the season, being ready to play, and then kind of moving on to the next one.
Right. And you know, people need to remember that this attention to detail is all about that. I mean, it is. That's what these great programs that exist right now today don't take different approaches from game to game. Schematically, they do with the opponent that they're facing, but there's all these things that go into it that are, you know, this process that you go through, which is a process that leads to success, that's what's been missing the last 20 years. We just haven't had that. And that's not something that you just implement in day one and then it works and everybody does it. I mean, it's a hard, slow process to turn everything around in that direction. And, you know, there's a reason why it took Lou Holtz three, which is amazing in and of itself. I mean, even 3 years. I think in the day and age that we live in now, it's almost impossible to do that if the talent's not already there. And you know, the fact is, these guys that have done it in the last 5 years in college football have walked into situations where there was talent there. It's not like you know, Urban Meyer walked into Florida and in his second year won it because he brought in a bunch of recruits as freshmen that won it.
Yeah, Zook was a good recruiter and had some talent there.
Yeah. Exactly, and he clearly was one of the best recruiters in the nation. He just couldn't.
And by the way, Will Muschamp and Charlie are 5-5. You know,
right?
And,
exactly.
You know, but you know, but Brady Hoke has gotten off to a good start. You know, they've done really well. I'm curious as hell. I don't, you know, I don't understand, to tell you the truth, when there's a lot of good young coaching candidates out there, guys who have cut their teeth at some schools, and then a place like New Mexico goes out and hires a guy like Bob Davey, who's been, you know, sitting in a booth for 10 years. I mean, I hope it works out for him. I don't have anything against Bob Davey, but I just don't. Those kind of hires just puzzle me. To me, it's a slap in the face of every guy that's been working his ass off on the sidelines and in the film room for the last 10 years. And you know, I think that, you know, you've got to really have a fire in your belly to get back into coaching after. I mean, your lifestyle changes. You know, you no longer are kind of like 100% kind of like focused on that stuff, recruiting and the travel and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody's saying like, oh, this is, you know, this is a great hire for New Mexico. I just don't get that. I mean, I would much rather go out and get some guy that, you know, has been a head coach, you know, at a smaller conference or even a Division II or something that's had success and, you know, has.
Well, you know, I can see how I do see how you get caught up in that, because I'm sure the pitch from Bob Davey was, look, I've been analyzing college football for the last, you know, X number of years. I have a presence from the standpoint that kids that watch ESPN are going to recognize me. You can give all that kind of, you know, like, hey, here's what you're getting. But the fact of the matter is, it's kind of like a guy who walks into the car shop and says, hey, I've been reading a lot about cars. I can be a mechanic and clearly better than anybody else that's around me. You know, if you haven't been turning the wrench lately, there's some huge gamble there. And,
but I also think that, you know, it's a lifestyle thing. I mean, I don't know what's going on in his personal life. you know, Davey. But I mean, you know, it is just a huge, I mean, you know, you're going from kind of having a lot of control over your own schedule and speaking engagements and basically having the off season off and you know, working as much as you want to work and, you know, doing a little bit of, you know, preparation. I'm not saying that these announcers don't work hard and prepare well, and I think Davey's done pretty well in the booth. But it is, you know, to go back to suddenly kind of having to worry about, you know, boosters and academics and compliance and recruiting and, you know, all that stuff, as opposed to just being paid to put on a headset and you know, kind of more or less do what we do and shoot your mouth off. I mean, right. I don't know. I just think it's a big
It is. I was surprised by it myself. But, you know, good luck to him. I mean, hopefully it turns out well.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, that when you look around the country, you know, a lot of these athletic directors and the way that they kind of approach things on many different levels, you know, leave a lot to be desired, you know, because it's all about kind of a splash and branding and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's why I've got so much respect for guys like Chuck Martin and Brian Kelly, and, you know, and Urban Meyer and some of these guys. I mean, you know, they started as grad assistants. You know, they are football coaches. That's what they've done for their career. And they've basically gotten to where they are today by being successful, you know, at every step of the way. And, you know, our big thing with Davey is he'd never been a head coach. You know, Wadsworth made a terrible mistake, you know, and did Notre Dame fans a disservice, I think, hiring somebody who hadn't had head coaching experience when all the data and all the history of Notre Dame showed that that was just going to be, you know, a rough road. And, you know, Davey says himself that he didn't have the confidence to switch to a different kind of offensive system, a spread system. He wanted to. As a defensive coordinator, he saw how difficult it was to defend, but he just couldn't pull the trigger. And that comes a lot with being comfortable in your own skin as a head coach. You know, Lou would make some pretty dramatic changes if he thought that it was going to help his football team win in the middle of the season, in the middle of a game, in the off season. And I think that, you know, and so maybe Davey's older and wiser, and I hope he does well, but I would not be surprised if he struggles mightily. It's hard to come back into the game.
No doubt. I mean, he's going to have to get some great assistants around him, that's for sure. That'll be interesting. All right, well, let's do this really quick on a prediction. I'm going to say 35-14 Saturday night.
Yeah, I like that. I'll say, well, you know, maybe I'll go to the contrarian. I'll say that there'll be some struggles, but I'll say Notre Dame will win 28-20.
All right. Yeah, wins a win.
Yeah, even though the Notre Dame student body and the community continue to sleep on the Notre Dame basketball program, you know,
I was thinking of bringing that up,
we'll
but we'll leave it.
Leave it. I mean, they're another good young team to watch. They've got they had a bunch of guys sick and out last night, and this freshman Pat Connaughton had a great game. So, somebody come to these games.
I did watch the game over the internet, and I'll say this, the camera angles over the internet did a really nice job of trying to hide how many people weren't there.
I mean, it's just
they flashed up once, and it looked like to me the entire section behind one of the baskets was completely empty. Empty. That's just sad, because that is not a bad basketball team. Basketball, from the standpoint, if you're a fan of basketball, that's a doggone good team to watch. They execute.
They play hard. Well. There's they're very unselfish. And, you know, Abramidis isn't even out there yet. Atkins was out last night. You know, obviously Joey Brooks is kind of finding a role with this freshman Connaughton. You know, these guys, you know, they've got a bunch of guys that can play 10, 12 minutes. And I think it's going to be an interesting team to watch. They're going to grow. You know, they're going to get their butts handed to them a couple times when they run up against some good teams. And they're going to struggle a little bit in the Big East. But I think that they're going to grow and I don't know. I enjoy watching them. And it's not.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're great to watch. They are. They're great to watch. All right. Well, we'll start heading into basketball in these next couple. It's definitely on the horizon. But for now, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.